This is NWPB. Segregation, redlining, and sundown town policies in the 1940s through 60s shaped Pasco, Kennewick, and Richland. That's according to research documented in a recent book by two history professors at Washington State University Tri-Cities. In the first part of NWPB's series, Connecting Segregation Policies to Minority Groups' Struggles to Get Political Representation, Dory Luzo-Gilmore explains how segregation policies shaped those three cities.
During the 40s and 50s, Jim Crow-era policies forced Black, Hispanic, and other racial minorities to live in East Pasco, preventing them from living anywhere else, like in Kennewick.
In Kennewick, African Americans were excluded completely, racially restrictive covenants. Real estate prohibited anyone who was non-white from owning a home in Kennewick, and police would remove anyone who was non-white who was in Kennewick after sundown. There was sort of a term for these sort of communities in different parts of the United States called sundown towns.
That's Bob Bauman. Bauman and Robert Franklin co-wrote the book Echoes of Exclusion and Resistance, Voices from the Hanford Region, using oral histories, government documentation about segregation policies, and written witness accounts. The two Washington State University Tri-Cities professors studied segregation in the Tri-Cities. Richland, Pasco, and Kennewick each created their own segregation systems, says Bauman. Kennewick was proudly lily white, says co-editor Robert Franklin, and the city did not allow African Americans to live or shop there.
Even up until the 60s, public housing officials in Kennewick would not rent to Blacks. They kind of used the opaqueness of the policy and their preference to select poor whites instead of poor Blacks.
Richland was a government town built to house permanent workers out at the Hanford site. Federal hiring policies mandated the government contractor hire minorities.
If African Americans make up 16 to 18% of the American population, you got to hire something close to that, close enough to get the okay of your workforce, basically to make sure that the workforce represented the American people.
However, the federal contractor did not have to give permanent, high-paying jobs to African Americans. This is how Bob Bauman explains Richland became segregated.
Only people who were permanent workers could live in that town. It was a federally run city during the war, in the first part of the Cold War. And African Americans were prohibited from being permanent employees. They could only be temporary employees. That was a way, essentially, of discriminating, segregating, prohibiting African Americans from living in Richland.
So Pasco was the only city left. African Americans and other minorities were only allowed to live in East Pasco.
It's a very similar story for those early Latinx migrants. They faced the same kind of Jim Crowism that African Americans faced, right? Having to live in substandard housing, working substandard jobs, discrimination in employment, where they could live. The Tri-Cities today is still very, kind of has pretty strong racial districts.
Today, Pasco continues to be the most racially diverse city with a majority Hispanic population. A small population of Black people still live in Pasco, although it's down from 30 years ago. Richland and Kennewick are still mostly white. The city councils in both those cities reflect that as well. According to members of the East Benton County Museum, Kennewick has never elected a person of color to their council. Pasco City Council is more representative of their population. Their first Black council member was elected in 1967, and their first Hispanic representative was elected in 2020. I'm Dory Luzo-Gilmore.
In part two of the series, NWPB's Johanna Bejarano will explore how minority populations continue to seek more political representation in the Tri-Cities.